The book of Romans, we're going to get into the Word this morning very quickly. When you get to Romans chapter 3, say amen or oh me or something. Amen. No, we don't have any old me's. Ours is all in Christ Jesus. The Bible says it's all yes and amen. It is so vitally important. Now, we kid about that sometimes, and I probably need to not do that because people tend to take what you say and run with it to an extent. In Christ Jesus, it is yes and amen. God is good all the time. John 10:10 is the balance wheel of the Bible. Jesus said this, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." If it kills, if it steals, if it destroys anything or everything, it is not of God. God had nothing to do with it. He didn't even allow it. It is a violation of His will. Like a lot of other stuff that's going on in the earth. Amen? God is not in charge of the earth today. And I don't live by what I see, but that's enough to show me that He's not. If God was in charge, would this thing look like this? Would this world operate like this if God was in charge? No, He is not. God's only fault, and I don't mean this in just kind of a joking way, is He turned it over to mankind. It's what He had to do. He made earth for man. But when He turned it over to mankind, bless our little hearts. We kind of make a mess of stuff sometimes. That's right. So, but here's the cool thing about it. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You can turn things around. Your life can be good. All five areas, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, and socially, just by depending on the grace of God. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about this morning is applied grace. Applied grace. Amen? In Romans chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Before we get to the but now, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. We open our hearts to receive and our minds to understand this morning, and we receive Your grace, Your willingness to use Your power on our behalf, Your favor in our life. It's what we receive this morning, and we declare to You that we love You, we thank You, we praise You, Father, for empowering us to live exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you looked at those first two verses there, it simply told you that the law was simply there so that every mouth would be stopped. In other words, nobody can say, "I can do this. I'm good enough. Look at my efforts," whatever, because the law in its perfect order simply shows that it cannot be done by human flesh. It cannot be done. The law is just in perfect, pristine order. You can't do it. You can't live up to it. Jesus was the only one that could. And so when He came and He talked to them about the law, The Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees and all of them had brought the law down and boiled it down to the point where they could live by it and say, "Look at us." All right? Are you with me? That's what they'd brought the law to. And so they would condemn everybody else because they didn't live up to what they thought the law should say to them. So when Jesus just came along, all He did was explain the law to them. Anytime He'd get around the scribes and the Pharisees, He would talk to them about the law. And that's when, you know, they would talk about the thou shalt not kills and all that. And Jesus said, "I'm telling you this, you know, if you hate your brother in the heart, you killed him." And then when they saw, you know, man shouldn't, do an immoral act. And Jesus said, if you just had that in your heart, you've done it. Well, that just messed up everything for them. See, because they had the law boiled down to where they could kind of live it by their own way and make everybody else feel condemned. And Jesus just came along and showed them what the law really said. He said, you can't boil it down. If you're going to live by it, there it is right there. And so that's all the law did was say, you can't do this. Are you got that? All right, now. That every mouth might be stopped and all the world might become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there's no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Why? For by the law, there's knowledge of that sin. But now, everybody say, but now. The righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when you see that verse put with the others, does it now make sense? See, we grew up in the church using, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, to make people feel guilty about what they've been doing. And to make people feel worthless. And that's not what he's talking about. He's linking you with those scripture up there about the law. And said, look, the law is telling you what sin is and that you can't live up to it. And then he said, therefore, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That scripture is a qualifier. You have to have been a sinner at one time or another to receive this righteousness. Anybody here not qualify? No. Why? Because everybody born after Adam was born into a sinful nature. So all that is a qualifier for the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Okay. Even the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. All right, you and I are justified freely by His grace. Now, the word grace, that word is also the word favor. You see that a lot, favor. And it seems like in religion we've kind of boiled that down to a word that just means something like that. I don't know how to say it, I'll just show you. It just means that. Oh, God's grace. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Well, God's grace be on you. What does that mean? I don't know, but we say it in church. A noble or a royal was called Your Grace. That's who they were. Well, that came from the grace. The grace is Jesus. Amen. So therefore, being justified freely by His grace, that's what He says right there, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So let's use the word grace. We're going to talk about applying this grace, this favor. You know, that's what we say. If I say to Jack, could I get you to do something for me? What have I asked him for? A favor. Right? I'm asking him to do something for me. That is a favor. All right, if you keep that in your thought, it helps you understand the grace of God. The favor of God is on you. God's willingness, when I ask Jack for a favor, I'm asking for Jack to be willing to use his power on my behalf in whatever extent we're talking about. And certainly it's limited by how much power and influence or whatever he has. So, therefore, God's grace is unlimited. God's willingness to use his power on our behalf, his power is unlimited. His resources are unlimited. That grace, God's willingness to use his power on our behalf, is the first thing that got you created new. That's how you got born again. It wasn't by what you did. It's by what he did. Oh, I'm sorry, you did do one thing. I know, Brother Butch, I quit doing all that stuff I was doing. No, that didn't get you born again. Well, I promise God, no, that didn't get you born again. What got you born again? You believed. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved. Okay, that's the grace of God. That same grace is the thing God uses for everything. To heal bodies, to make you wealthy, healthy, peaceful, fix your family, fix your marriage. It's that same grace. It's that same willingness to use his power on our behalf. That's the grace. Okay? So when we say it, we're learning a deeper meaning of that word, and it's just not, well, grace of God be with you. Of course, my favorite was always, you know, American by birth, Texan by the grace of God. I always liked that one. You know, that was the grace of God got me here. God's willingness to use his power on my behalf. I like that one, okay? All right, let's go to... Actually, I want to read a little more. No, I'll tell you what, let's don't. I don't have time. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. All right, let me give you my last, my last line of my message in case I don't get to it. Is that easy? I told the group Wednesday night, here's the only thing we've done wrong, bless our little darling hearts, is in our effort to seek after God, we have developed faith in our faith instead of faith in Jesus. And when we turn that around, everything's going to change. It's going to be easier to get to the places God wants you to get to. It's going to be easier to receive what God has for you. It's going to be easier for you to do the things that God's told you to do and put in your heart as we turn it around and quit developing faith in our faith, but faith in God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And his finished work. All right. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. This is talking about Abraham. We could go up and read all those scriptures before that that most everyone is so familiar with about Abraham. The Bible calls him the father of our faith. Now, the Bible says in 13, for the promise that Abraham should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise is made of no effect. Because the law works wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Or it says, King James says, to the end, or for this purpose, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of faith, but to that also which is, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Therefore, it is of faith that God can show us his grace, or his willingness to use his power on our behalf. His willingness to do us a favor in every area of our life. It's of faith. It's of faith. It's of faith. Well, what is faith? Well, we call faith believing. Okay, believing what the Lord said. Okay, that's what we call faith. Now, very quickly, let me tell you why this is so important, because If you grew up in a church where you thought God was all in control and everything that happened, God decided and all of this stuff and everything else, it's hard for you to understand, well, then if God wants it to happen, why doesn't He just make it happen? You know, I mean, why do I have to pray if I'm, you know, unless this is a game and, yeah, God wants to heal me and but you know, I gotta pray and then, you know, I'm kind of a little puppet here and stuff like that. So if you don't understand, I always had, growing up, I had a problem with that scripture that said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'll send laborers into the harvest. I always had a problem with that scripture. Because I said, and you know, as a kid, this is what I thought. Okay, let me figure this out. Okay, if this is all God's and He's doing everything that He wants to do and He's doing it when He wants to do it and everything else, then if He wants laborers sent into the harvest, why do I have to pray for them to be sent to the harvest? Why didn't He just send them? And so I went and asked a minister. And he told me, we all have our part. And God, you know, this is how He trains you and this is how He teaches you. And what you're supposed to do is pray. So God tells you to pray. And so if you pray, then, you know, that's why when it takes place. That still didn't sit well. You know, I just thought, no, that just still doesn't seem right. You know, it's kind of, unless this is a game. You know, if this really is a war, if people are dying and going to hell, then it looks like if God could do something, if He could send laborers into the harvest, why does He have to wait on me to pray it? Is there anybody, inquiring minds? Come on, somebody. That always bugged me. I thought, okay, come on now. Give me an understanding. But most of the stuff I got was, brother, that's too deep. Just don't ask that. I was thrilled by being deep. See, to me, I was, whoa. I didn't know they didn't know either. You know, it's just easy to say, let's don't ask, brother, just some things. Now, we were big on that scripture, you know, the hidden things belong to the Lord. And it does say that. But it says what's revealed belongs to us. Okay? Well, when did I find out how that worked? When I finally saw Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. When God said, let us create man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Did God say that? Do you think He meant it? Or was He just trying to fill up the book? No, God made earth for man. Why did Jesus have to come as man? Because since by man came death, by man had to also come the resurrection from the dead. Right? Since by man came that sin, then the answer to sin had to come from man because God made earth for man. So when I understood that God had put man in a position of authority, then I understood why I was supposed to pray. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Why? Because my Heavenly Father who is in Jesus Christ, I am a covenant partner in the covenant that God made with Jesus for me as a flesh and blood human being in the earth. I get to believe with my heart, say with my mouth, receive into my life. That's why I'm supposed to pray you, therefore. That's why I get to say, Father, I thank You for sending forth laborers into the harvest. Therefore, God is, boom, He's able to send. That's why so many times the Bible says God is able. God is able. Why? Because when we simply believe and obey, we do those things and it gets done. Okay? Never think you're not important to God. He housed Jesus in you to start with, right? But have you noticed that nobody without a flesh and blood body gets to stay here? They leave here. Why? Because this gives you the authority here. You got to have this. But when you got this, it's still not enough. Because the flesh and blood only does one thing, gives you the authority as a human being. Power comes from someplace else. Unless you don't do it on your own. And we tried that. It just don't work all that great. Right? You know, anyway. Well, it didn't for me. You're acting like, well, I don't know. It did for me. You know. Okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Well, it's hard to start anywhere in Ephesians, you know? Man. So we'll just start chapter 2, verse 1. And you has He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That ain't Jesus. Come on. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Anybody got a clue who that is? Yeah. Among whom also we all had our lifestyle or conversation in times past, lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, and we, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened or made us alive together in Christ. By grace ye are saved. He hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that going to happen or already going to happen? Already been happening. It's already happened. He has raised us up together. So while you're sitting here, you're also sitting with Him in heavenly places. Just, I don't understand that. I don't even understand steam and water and ice, okay? But it still works. He hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, willingness to use His power on our behalf, in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Are you with me? All right, look at me now. Look at me. The word saved, S-A-V-E-D, is the word sozo in the Greek. It's an all-encompassing word. There's nowhere in its definition does it mean to be born again. Say, what? No, that one, in talking about, it does not mean to be born again. That word saved there, by grace are you saved, it means to be kept, to be delivered, to be made whole, to be healed, to be made prosperous. It means an all-encompassing, I will take care of you in every area. Now, why does that mean that? Because you get born again, because you are His child, all that comes in your salvation. It comes in the new birth. Christ in you, the hope of glory, okay? All that is there because of that. But we have boiled it down, for by grace are we saved. By grace are we born again. We forget what all it encompasses. We don't understand. We forget that if you are by grace saved, then you are by grace delivered. You are by grace made whole. You are by grace protected. You are by grace blessed. You are by grace increased. You are by grace all of it. See, we just got that. We just didn't expand the word enough to know what it meant. We all went, why? Because we were told in church, it means to be born again. Does it? Well, yes, it does, but it means a lot more than that. And here's the importance of this. You can only walk in what you believe. So when you find out that that word saved means a whole much more than what you thought it did, you can believe a whole much more and you can receive a whole much more. Okay? So that's the good part about that. Now, verse 9. We just got through saying it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not by good works. Everybody look at me. Unto good works, not by good works. Your good works do not create you new. You don't get to heaven. You don't get anything from God by works. You get it by faith through that grace. Are you with me? Okay. Which God ordained before that we should walk in them. All right? Now, go with me to Colossians. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, you with me? Look at this. Listen. Who made you able? He made you able. He made you able to what? To be a what? A partaker. He made you able to be a partaker of the inheritance. Did you ever see somebody with an inheritance sitting in the lawyer's office having to work for it? Why? Because it wasn't a work, it was an inheritance. He made you able to be a partaker of all that stuff. Not you. He made you able. Never again, I can't do that. Well, I got a clue for you. I know you can't. But I know that He made us able to be a partaker. So I can't do that on my own, but I can through Him. Now, here's kind of where we missed it along the way. When we saw I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we would say, I can't do this on my own. The Lord has to do it. And then after we quote that, then we set out to make it happen with our hands. I know none of you have ever done that, but I have in my life. You say, oh, you're talking about not working? No, I'm talking about believing first. Because the faith, the power is in the believing. The believing will cause you to do. But if you do to make the believing happen, it doesn't work. Okay? Now, good works are good works, and there are some good works in the Bible. But the Lord said in the book of Hebrews, the basic foundation for us is repentance from dead works, faith toward God. Okay? So when we turn our faith toward Him, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be a partaker with the inheritance of the saints in light. Go quickly to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to run myself out of time if I don't watch what I'm doing here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. For our visitors and maybe our new family members, just stay with me. I know I mess with religion a whole lot. But it never did me any good. All it did was keep me in bondage. And when I found out what the word actually said and actually meant, it made me free. And the Bible said for me, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so that's what I say too. Okay? We're learning about the freedom of God, how much our God loves us, what He's already done for us. Amen. So stay with me. I'm reading out of the same Bible you're reading out of. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now, for our longtime church family, y'all know how long I can spend here, and I'm not going to today. Lest I should be, we'll talk to you later. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Look, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, something the Lord let happen to me. No, it didn't say that, does it? That's what most Christians think, what most churches teach. Well, yes, see the Lord, in order that He wouldn't be exalted above measure because all the abundance of the revelation, God let this thing happen to Him to keep Him humble. God ain't real sharp then. Why didn't He just not give Him the revelation? And that way He wouldn't have been humble. I mean, He wouldn't have had to humble Him, okay? I mean, our religion, we like to make stuff up, but it's ridiculous. Read what it says. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, or thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, if you and I just simply translate the word, it will change the way you've always believed the scripture. My willingness to use my power on your behalf is sufficient for you. See, we look, my grace is sufficient, which meant, Paul, now you just keep suffering because it gives me glory. I know you've got to go and win the lost, but I'm getting more glory out of your suffering than I am winning the lost. I know I've got a job. You've got to go around the world, Paul, but I want you to suffer so that people will see how wonderful you are, that you just keep trusting me even though I'm making you suffer. We believe that. We were taught that. I taught it. Stupid. He said unto me, My grace, or my willingness to use my power on your behalf, is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect or complete in your weakness. In your weakness. See, Paul had prayed three times for the Lord to get rid of this. He thought the Lord was the one that's going to be getting rid of it when He'd already done it. And the Lord kept saying to him every time, What I've done is enough. My grace is sufficient. What I've done is enough, Paul. I went to the cross. By my stripes, you were healed. I've done enough. Right? Romans said, don't say who's going to ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who's going to ascend into the deep. That is to bring in Christ. But what does it say? The word's nigh you. It's in your mouth. So that's what. Well, Paul got a hold of this. And that's when he said this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the... What? Say it out loud. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't know how we miss that word in the church. That the power of Christ might rest upon me. The power for what? The power to take care of that situation. When I understand I cannot do this, and I say, Lord, I can't do this, but You can. What You've done for me is enough, and I'm turning it over to You. Then the power of Christ can rest on you. That's how you apply the grace. What do you do? Lord, just like Apostle Paul said, I can't do this on my own. But what I figured out is when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Then I can say, Lord, I'm turning this over to You. Thank You. By Your stripes, I was healed. Thank You that You became poor that I might become rich. Thank You, Lord, that You've not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I know this habit I've had, Lord, all these years, I cannot get rid of this on my own. So here's what I'm going to have to depend on Your grace. Your willingness to use Your power on my behalf. I'm going to depend on that this day. I'm turning it over to You. Are you there? You couldn't do it on your own. There is no power in what you cannot do. We were told all the time in the church of what we're supposed to don't do. And we were okay because we couldn't keep from doing it, whatever it was. And even the don't doing it, there was no power in it. But when we finally said, I can't do this. There is no way I can do this. That the power of Christ may rest on me. Now I can say, Lord, I just deliver this thing into your hands. Thank you for delivering me from this. Now, what's the key to that applied grace? His presence. What? His presence. Run to Him all the time. When you mess up, run to Him. When you're messing up, run to Him. In His presence is fullness of joy. He has made a way for you to be right there.
Oh, you mean I can keep doing all the stuff I've been doing and God's okay with it?
That ain't what I said. I said His grace, His willingness to use His power on your behalf is available for you so you don't have to do that junk anymore. Because some of that stuff in people's lives is destructive. God's the one making it destructive. The thing that they're doing is destructive. But there's no way of getting out of it because they're trying to use their own power. If we had the power to do it, we'd have been out of it a long time ago. But His grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. Where have we missed it? We did not declare His grace. Here's what we'd say.
I just can't do this. I've been trying. I can't.
That's all we said. And then we confess, by His stripes I'm healed, or I'm out of this in Jesus' name. Blah, blah, blah. We'd quote the Scripture, and then in the next breath we'd say, I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of it. Therefore, it is of faith that He can use His power on our behalf. So what we want to start doing, I don't have a lot of faith in me. In myself. The Apostle Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He said, how can you say that? Jesus was... That wasn't what He's talking about. He's talking in man's ability to make his own way. There's nothing good there. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. All right, let me read the rest of Scripture and we're out of here. When they asked Jesus, show us how to do the works of God, John 6, you can write this down, 28 and 29. Jesus said, believe in Him whom God sent. Not in you. Believe in Him. Now here's the one we like to use, well, we need to use instead. Well, I just need to develop my faith more. I just need to get my faith stronger. I'll come out of this as soon as I develop. Use Hebrews 12 too. Jesus is the author and the developer of your faith. You don't have to build your faith. Now, there are ways. The Bible says building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, that type of thing. You do that. But you're not doing it. He's doing it. It's all about Him. He's done it all. All we got to do is depend on His grace, His willingness to use His power on our behalf. You need out of that mess you're in? Stop depending on you. Stop trying to make it happen. Okay, I'm sorry. I got to read. Go to Hebrews 4. I got to read you this one, though, because you got to see this. Down in Hebrews 4 and 9. Very quickly say amen when you find it. Cool. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. How's the only way you can miss entering into this rest? That's the only way. Don't make up something. Read the rest of Scripture. Lest any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. Starting to do the work instead of just simply believing will cause you to fall short of that rest. Well, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'm not sure God's pleased with me. I'm not. You've got to enter into the rest that He said, that's all done. Is He pleased with you? I don't know. Look at Jesus. So what do you mean? You're in Jesus. He cannot be pleased with Jesus and not be pleased with you. I didn't do that. He did it. Oh, now, brother. No. Everything we stand in is in Jesus. We are in His blood. God does not look at us separately from Jesus. You say, no, I just can't be that way. It wouldn't have been if I'd have made it up. I'd have made you work. You'd have had to repent all the time to me if I was God. That isn't what He did. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. He made Him to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I could be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when I can't get out of that mess, when I can't get it fixed, when I can't, I don't even have the faith to believe for it, I know He does. That keeps me from developing faith in my ability to believe and just simply putting my faith in Him. Now, how do I activate my faith or apply that grace? I need to know how He sees everything. See, the reason I know I'm not supposed to be sick and you're not supposed to be sick is because Jesus took the stripes on His back for our sickness. So when that junk gets on us, tries to get on us or anything else, it's not the plan of God. It's a curse of the devil. He's trying to curse God's child, and God's not for that. He is against it. It's part of the curse. When you don't have the money to pay your bill, the Bible said, Jesus said, He became poor that we might become rich. He left the splendor of heaven. He left all deity, all God, and came to be man so that the abundance could be on us. So when I know that, then I can say what He says. And when I say what He says in faith, it applies the grace. When you talk about, I am well able to take the land. I am well able to overcome this in Christ Jesus. Because of Him, because of the blood, then God is able to make all His willingness to use His power on your behalf abound toward me and you. When can He do it? When we believe that. But instead of working on believing in what we believe, just simply work on believing Him. Oh, look here. I'm closing my Bible with this. I go back to the guy that had the son that brought him to Jesus. You've got to believe this. I misunderstood this for years and didn't get a hold of it. He brought and said, hey, I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't heal him. If you can do anything about it, please do. And Jesus looked at him and He said, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. We built a lot of faith in that. And the guy said, well, Lord, I believe. And then he said, Lord, help my unbelief. He got real honest, didn't he? Well, what happened? His boy got healed. I thought He said, help my unbelief. Jesus just did. He healed him. Why? Because somebody had to have faith. All things are possible to him that believes. And the guy standing in front of him had all the faith. His name is Jesus. That's all you need. You got Him. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You don't have a lack of anything. I heard another preacher who wrote this, and I read it. I did the same thing. I used to say, there's nothing wrong with God, nothing wrong with the Word. Must be something wrong with me. I believe that all the time because it wasn't how. I knew God's Word said it's supposed to be that way. God said it's supposed to be that way according to His Word. Then got to be something wrong with me. And the problem was I was thinking there was something wrong with me. It's just one of those deals. You know? Because you think it's something wrong with you when there's nothing wrong with you. Why? Because Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. There's nothing wrong with you. Well, I'm just not believing enough. Well, Jesus is. You see what I'm getting at? That's how you apply the grace. This is not one more thing for us to do. You know, I've said this last 2-3 weeks in a row. This is just like our living by faith for most of us has been just like men watching television. We don't care what's on TV. We want to know what else is on TV. Right? Now, in faith, we didn't know, we didn't care about what we were doing. We were wanting to know what else are we supposed to do. Give me one more thing to do so this will come about in my life, so I can walk out of this mess that I'm in, or stop doing this, or get my family. Give me one more thing to do. There's only one thing to do, and that's believe. Not in your ability, not in your faith. Believe in the grace of Almighty God in the name of Jesus. That's who He is. So when you go out this week and the devil reminds you that you're not worthy for this to work in your life, you remind him that you're thankful that you don't have to be worthy. Remind him, just do this. Every time he messes, just say, Titus 3:5, devil. Titus 3:5. Well, you just never will. Titus 3:5. Well, you never have. Titus 3:5. You, next time you want him to get, he'll be gone. Titus 3:5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us with the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how you're going to overcome. It's how you're going to come out. It's going to have to, how you're going to lay aside all that junk that you don't want in your life and walk into the good things in your life and all of that. It's by applying that grace. The Bible says we have a high priest that's seated at the right hand of God. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't have to do anything to come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't have to clean up, fix up, shape up, nothing. Because the only place to get that grace to help in time of need is there. So come boldly to the throne every day of your life. The only place in the Bible you really see people's hearts burn was those two guys walking on the road to Emmaus when they were walking and talking with Jesus. They said, didn't our hearts just burn within us as He talked with us along the way? It's not by one more thing you have to do. Just talk to the Lord. Let Him tell you how much He loves you. Let Him apply His grace in your life that you can apply it. Amen. Let's stand together. God is good all the time. Your life's getting better every day.
Amen.
The Lord is working mightily in you every day. As you go leave this place, we always use this scripture. You go out with joy, you be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break forth before you into singing, and the trees clap their hands. When there should have come up the thorn and the thistle, there will come up the fir tree. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the life that God made for you because of His grace. You are an example of His goodness. That's what people in the world need to see. They need to hear. Look, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. When people find out what they're doing is destroying their life, and then they find out there's a way out, and they all along didn't think they had the ability to do it, and you tell them, oh, you don't have to have the ability. God's already made you able. He's done it for you. All you got to do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, delivered, made whole, kept. That's what it's all about. That's the Jesus you can tell everybody about right there. Well, what about my sin? It's all on Jesus. Every bit of it. Is God still angry at sin? Well, I don't know if you can say He's still angry because He put all of the anger on Jesus when He put Him on the cross. Your sins, past, present, and future, were paid for on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. If God made you pay for them again, it would be double jeopardy. The price has been paid. The sentence is carried out. With sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's what happened to Jesus. But since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead, that we could walk in newness of life. Amen? Go out there and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You this day that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from You. Thank You, Father, that Your Word, Your love, Your grace, all the things that You have in the natural understanding are simply too good to be true. But you said you revealed that to us by your Spirit. And we receive it this day. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we curse sickness and disease in every person in this place this day. We thank you, Father. We call health into our life. For our loved ones, Lord, those that are not here this day, maybe battling something, we curse sickness and disease in their body. No evil shall befall them, neither any plague come nigh their dwelling. We receive that with them this day because we know it's your will. By your grace, we receive it this day, and we thank you. We ask you to dismiss us. We love you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.